Now, what is a genuine lifestyle? If I asked you, what would you say? A genuine lifestyle for yourself.
Go by your heart.
Would you like? Get a stethoscope and hear your heartbeat.
Knowing
who you are. Knowing who you are, does that mean, like, your name is? Beck. Beck, okay, does that mean, I know I'm Beck, so. What more could you say about yourself than that? Beck, you're a Queenslander. Does it go any deeper?
Eternal spirit soul.
That's interesting. Anyone else? Genuine lifestyle.
I would say more of a lifestyle. A lifestyle that is more suitable.
For your heart. Low cholesterol diet. Good asking. Genuine lifestyle. Fair enough. What's an ingenuine lifestyle? Is different for everyone? They don't feel there's a common purpose. Love. Is there a common agreement on what love is? What are you going to do then?
Well, I'm still looking for answers. You know, like, it's in the master's community, humanity working together for the goal to take care of everybody, to take care of the planet. And that's very idealistic, sort of humanity, you know, according to today's standards, and change the world based on what exploitation is.
So, when all humanity comes together and works for the common good. What about the other species that make up the majority of the residents of the planet?
Well, that would include respecting life so far as possible. I said it's a sphere based on exploitation. They should also exploit it. Like anything that grows, it's a sphere that comes out of the new species. It seems to me to be a very bad position to be considered.
Probably one way to
was it looks up a little bit. It's
but a genuine lifestyle. Looks happy, getting on as best you can.
Best as you can in the future.
So how is that genuine? Because maybe you could be happy because someone else is sad.
Remembering who you really are,
is not the physical body, not in the spirit, but the soul. So that's and from that, if we are already here, I think that's very important to walk the path of life.
Thank you, what you do.
To walk the path of life without hurting anyone, or at least try not to hurt anyone.
Now you say, knowing yourself as a soul, so you feel you are a soul. Now what does a soul do?
Well, at the moment my soul is experiencing that present life, even though it's probably in other places, because we cannot perceive what the soul truly is that my soul is experiencing this life on this earth.
Why? Why?
To obtain qualities that I lost.
Yes.
Such as patience, understanding, unconditional love.
What's that? Unconditional love. Sounds trendy. What is it? I know it's the latest buzzword, but what does it really mean? Have any of you, have any of you loved unconditionally? Have you done that? How do you do that? Love God unconditionally? Anyone else loved unconditionally?
Self.
Unconditionally, yes. You've got to use the right words in that position. This is your companion here. Have you loved unconditionally? Yeah. No conditions. No conditions whatsoever. Expectation in our condition. Just walk in the middle of we figure we just plunge right into it. It's a very interesting experiment from us walk right in. Have you loved your own condition? What do you think? Unconditional love. to help us see that.
You're not the everything. Everyone agrees? You're a part. be a higher being.
If you are to make the effort and resembling to this, then you want to be able to have access to it.
You feel you're unlimited. And you feel you're unlimited. Really?
So, the leaders that I react to myself on the rest of the team is that I'm much better than I'm the government. So, they're saying it's like putting a seatbelt on the car. You know, every time you put a section on something, you know, oh, I can't do this. It's like extracting this, like me, and then we hold it, so it happens.
So, you really feel you're unlimited? In strength, in intelligence, beauty.
I believe that I have no limitation because I'm my own desire and I've wanted to be more than I want. So I'm not standing on my stopping point or holding myself back from being more than I am.
But unlimited. There's a difference between thinking you're unlimited and thinking they're parts of you that you haven't discovered yet. You understand what I'm saying? I think you are saying that you're open to the fact that there are strengths and characteristics about you that you haven't discovered. But that's very different from saying you're unlimited. Okay? You agree? So no one here feels they're unlimited. Alright. So then, your next question has to be, next question you ask yourself has to be, since you are a part, as you said, you could have very instant incomes. Since you are a part, what is it that you are a part of? Once you start understanding what we are a part of, then we can start to see whether we are genuine or not. So what is the greater reality that we are a part of?
Well, I say that in some traditions they say that God is omnipresent and omnipresent everywhere all the time, and we're a part of that. We're just sort of like a rock in the ocean, but we're part of something that is omnipresent.
Oh, what is the nature of that something?
Oh, God, we don't know.
Anyone else? What is that? What is it that we are a part of? What would you say? Definitional love. Yes.
I'm actually related to what Simon just said. I think we are little tiny creatures which are carrying some thought in ourselves.
Part of?
God.
Who?
God. G-O-D.
Who is that?
God.
God.
Krishna.
You have to introduce you to that person. I see. Does it lock up inside me?
In the heart, yeah, a part of me.
My heart.
Well, that's what I believe.
You looked in there, you had open heart surgery, and you looked in and saw it.
No, he's talking to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He?
He, she.
Oh, right.
He does not have
just to make sure you work that. No, best one yet.
I love you.
What you're saying is that somebody in your heart, he, she, whatever, right?
Krishna, creator, God, his face.
Everything.
Everywhere, and we are.
Alright. So then what is the nature of this ultimate reality that we are a part of?
Unconditional
creation. Unconditional creation. Well, that's a doable. Unconditional creation. Okay. Now we haven't figured out what unconditional love is. Now we're on to unconditional creation.
The creation that never ceases. It's always in the process of creating and then destroying.
Okay, now, let's focus on the actual issue. What is the nature of the ultimate reality that we are part of? Whether you call it God or this or that, we're trying to understand the characteristics so that we can establish our relationship as part of that ultimate reality. Fair enough? Okay. Any idea what is the nature of the ultimate reality? No idea. No idea. No idea. No idea.
The talk you said to last night, that was interesting because I was talking to you. In the group of people who think about the creator
you were in that group,
yeah, definitely. And I just started coming here about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I can definitely say that.
What is the nature of ultimate reality that we're all a part of?
I really don't know.
The big pizza in the sky, I kind of look at those olives and the big pizza in the sky.
From my direct personal experience, I haven't been able to work out very much about the absolute nature of reality.
Uh-huh.
I guess the closest that I've had is really the thoughts of other people, and then I've had to sort of weigh up my limited intelligence and understanding what I think that's doing. So I haven't had to get into the answers yet, although I practiced to be my heart, I still have to work out, you know, what is reality when I can trust with the authority's thoughts, to trust, because I found my own resources about trying to fathom the nature of reality if I let down.
Actually, one teacher I was studying said that the more you study this stuff about God, the less probably the less you know, and the more you study it, even the less you know. But eventually, you're not going to do it in your heart, and I'm sorry about
it. It's a good excuse. The more you try to understand it, the less you know. Don't bother. Yeah, people write books and say that kind of thing. Real spiritual knowledge is not in the book. And they write a book and tell you that in your mind. How about, kind of cool, we finished. Did we get to you yet? The nature of ultimate reality?
The nature of ultimate reality is what we
live in. That's the world that is. Alright. Nature of ultimate reality. Here's your chance.
This is material, it's not real because it's going to be gained.
Is your body real?
No. It's not real, but it happened a lot.
So what is real with a capital R?
Oh, love.
And how do you love?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know people love with their body, right? But the body is just not real, so. What are you going to do?
When you say the body is not real, I find the ego isn't. I mean, the ego will have it. One day it's going to not be here. But hopefully, the subconscious will be able to calm those off, even when the body is there. But I think the subconscious will make these people want to find who they are and where they fit in, what they're fulfilling their purpose on.
All right, so
we're
trying to get at this understanding of what is ultimate reality. Where will we get that information from? It would seem to me, as I was explaining yesterday for those who are here, that it's quite obvious the best way to understand ultimate reality is to get information from the ultimate reality itself. You can do that. Then your life really becomes advantageous. So it's quite apparent, to me anyway, that if you can get knowledge about ultimate reality directly from the ultimate reality, then you're onto something. Otherwise, I have my opinion, you have your opinion, everybody's got their own opinion. Now, let's just take a look at our existence. Our bodies. If you can understand yourself as a part of the ultimate reality, as a part of the Supreme, then you have a better chance of understanding the Supreme. Just like if you can understand a drop of seawater, there's a good chance you're going to understand what is the ocean. So just look at yourself. First, you have to be very clear. Are you the body, or are you something more than the body? How many of you here feel? We are the body. Raise your hand.
I'm stuck in here until it does work.
Are you the body? You said, I'm stuck in here. Are you that thing you're stuck in? Yes or no? Okay. Does anyone here think they're simply the body? They're just bad chemicals. Alright. So, what about the mind? Do you think that you're just the mind? Chemicals and the mind. Or is there a spiritual dimension about you? Indeed, do you have a spiritual identity? Anyone feel like a spiritual identity? Okay. Now, how do you act according to your spiritual identity? I mean, you just kind of walk up to somebody and say, excuse me, I have a spiritual identity. What do you do with your spiritual identity? What do you do? Yeah, you say you have a spiritual identity. What do you do with it? You wash your hand out and dry it?
Well, I guess I try to feed it, and I'll get told that this way to feed it is to change to
have a spiritual identity? How do you take care of it? You spend money on it?
I just spend money on it to find something to read. To want to switch my mind and my conscience. And I'm trying to talk to my conscience that that might be the spiritual identity.
Practice talking to your conscience.
I'm trying come to the truth of my conscience, then my conscience is saying to me, oh, well, that's not a good thing to do. But in truth, sometimes I'm not following what the conscience says.
But how do you know your conscience is right? How do you know your conscience is right? There's going to be many voices inside
you. Yeah, I'm not going to. I can feel it. With my soul, is it pushed? I don't feel that funny uneasiness. I'm not happy to use it on the floor. That's what we all protect.
For sure.
I'm trying to go by the feeling. If I'm disturbed and stressed, it means that I'm doing something wrong.
So you're going by physiological feelings?
It's not physiological.
Sure. That's a warm feeling in the bottom of your stomach.
Oh,
in this region right here. It's a warm feeling here. It's physiological. One famous author, probably some of you have read his books. He's kind of like a pop Ayurveda teacher. Written many books. People have purchased millions of copies. He writes that if you want to know what is correct, consult your body. If your body gives a good feeling, then you're doing the right thing. If the body gives a painful feeling, then you're doing the wrong thing. Would you all agree to that? To consult your body as the guide for what is right or wrong? Regardless, would you consult with the feelings of your body inside what is right or wrong?
Yeah, there's a part.
No, this is about life's ultimate question. It's not about, you know, whether you should be 1 meter away from the fire or 2 meters.
I don't know, maybe this is more about the Ayurveda expert or whatever. But you must have studied it considering medicine.
I didn't say it was my Ayurvedic expert, otherwise I said it's a pop Ayurvedic expert. But I'm telling you what he said. You want to know what to do with your life? Consult your body. If it's a good feeling, you're doing the right thing. If your body gets a painful feeling, then you're making a mistake. About your life. None of you would go for that. And what is the goal of all that?
That's in a sense to sort of look after yourself going holistically.
And then you spend your whole life looking after yourself, quote unquote, holistically, and then what?
Well, we're all going to talk about you.
And then?
So, what do you look at?
And then?
You have to do something about you.
And then? Let's say you live your whole life holistically. Now what? What comes next?
A new life.
A new life, really holistic, yeah.
Well, yeah, intimate. Where we go.
What kind of body you get in your next life?
Well, it depends on my mind.
What kind of body you get in your next life?
Cat.
You like that?
No, that's not anymore. I did not really do that.
Yes, this is a very important point. You have to judge your progress in this life and your relationship with your own reality. Looking at what your future is going to be. Is it so that you only should be concerned with this life, or should you be looking at your next life too? When you have genuine spiritual knowledge, when you understand your ultimate reality properly, you'll see that according to your actions in this life, you're fashioning your next life. You can see the whole system It's explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Best explanation. That your actions in this life shape your future, in that you must get reactions for all of your actions. So at the time of death, your mind takes you, the spirit soul, to the next body. Krishna explains this in Bhagavad Gita. The way you lived in this life shapes a certain mentality as part of the reactions, your mentality. At the time of death, your mentality takes on an appropriate body in your next life. Now, to have a human body is very rare. You can look around in nature and see that human beings are far outnumbered. So many other species of life. So, to get a human body, it's a very special thing. But you don't have to get a human body in your next life. You have to deserve the human body. So, a human body is a special gift from the Supreme, from Krishna, so that you can have advanced or developed consciousness for understanding what is the ultimate reality. Other species can't do that.
If at the end of this lifetime I get into whatever animal, how is it that in that lifetime I will try and get into a human form, animals and people on that level?
Right. Animals don't get karma. They're moved along automatically by nature. No, you're moved up to the ranks by the laws of nature. Animals don't have karma. Human beings, because they have developed consciousness, they get a reaction, karmic reaction. Animals don't have karma. But if you lose your human body and go into the animal species or plant species or fish species, it's a great loss. How do you lose your human form of life? By not using it to understand what is the ultimate reality. Then nature takes away your opportunity.
So it's a theory that, like, to become a human in this lifetime, that you must have shut away your heart up.
Yes.
So,
countless births. So if you waste a human life for things the animals can do, this is a great catastrophe. What do the animals do that humans can't compete with? Say something that animals do. Yeah, in terms of sufficiency or power or... Well, just like... But look at the basic animal activities that humans share. Eating. You can't eat just anything and everything without getting sick. Not every animal can do that. Sleeping. So many animals can sleep much longer than a human being.
So there's the perception that, according to that it works your way up through the laws of nature and the world to become a human, and in this lifetime you're born, you pretty much have like a raw consciousness, like it's pretty much an open slate where you don't really have any concept of a higher being. Or do you intuit it then? Or do you have to find it?
The purpose of having a human body is that with your developed consciousness, you understand what is the ultimate reality. That is your responsibility as a human being. It's like when you get a car, you have a responsibility to drive properly. Similarly, when you get a human body, you have the responsibility to understand what is the nature of ultimate reality. I mean, we don't have enough Bhagavad Gita's here, otherwise I would pass one out to everyone. We just have about 5 here. It's not enough. So, In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that those who are bewildered don't understand how they got the present body. They don't understand what their next body is going to be. They have no vision or comprehension why they are changing from one body to another. This is a great tragedy. So, the first thing we need to understand about ultimate reality is that something is forcing us to change bodies. You have more? Okay, pass them out. There's some over here too.
So it means that there's no freedom.
We'll get to that. Here come more.
Yeah. I'll then make sure I'll set that the next button to be met.
What is Krishna saying in Bhagavad Gita? You're reading from there. Okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. One day.
How is it that some people remember what their past life is?
Yeah. It's like an ability that some people have. They don't remember everything. They remember something.
Yeah.
It's not that important. Because it's like you're remembering you I did this in my life. In the past I did that. But how do you make a solution to the whole process of changing one body after another? That's the most important thing to understand. What are you going to do about your future? Past is already done. So you remember your past life, okay, great, now what?
What was that person? What is this relationship to changing one body?
Yes, yes. Can you read the book word, please? Can you have a light here to see? Yes, yes, you have a loud voice.
The word
Gyanachakshusha
is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity lives his present body, nor what form of body he is going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures, both from a Bhagavad Gita
or by
spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. Every living entity is putting his body under certain circumstances. He is living under certain circumstances and he is enjoying under certain circumstances. Under the spell of material nature. As a result, he is suffering different kinds of happiness and distress under the illusion of sense enjoyment. Persons who are everlastingly filled by lust and desire lose all power to understand their change of body and their stay in a particular body. They cannot comprehend it. Those who have developed spiritual knowledge, however, can see that the spirit is different from the body and is changing its body and enjoying its different ways. A person in such knowledge can understand how the conditions of a living entity is suffering in this material existence. Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very much troublesome. They should come out of it and be Krishna conscious and liberate themselves to transfer to the spiritual world.
So, you read very nicely. Remember the sentence you read in the middle? As a result, he is suffering different kinds of happiness and distress under the illusion of sense enjoyment. How does that
sound?
A very accurate description of how life is lived these days. Just see yourself. You're experiencing different kinds of happiness and distress while all the time you're under the illusion that sense enjoyment is the appropriate goal of life. So, by that illusion, you lose all power to understand your change of body. What to speak of understanding open reality? In other words, you have to do first things first. Try to understand first the immediate reality that you have this body, it's forced upon you, and you're forced to change it. How are you going to stop that?
Well, I was going from studying just recently on the theory of so we're all controlled, that we have desires for the nature of the things are okay in minimum, but if they're out of hand, they're too much. We'll have
what things are okay to minimum?
That we all have out of hand, human nature, we have a certain amount of anger, greed, lust, compassion.
All right, but I'm only asking you, but who decides what the minimum is and the maximum?
What, we all decide that for ourselves.
Oh, that's, that sounds like a lot of problems because I want you to have a different vision.
But in a sense,
so once again, we're getting back to the original problem. Who decides the standards, what is genuine or not? Now, let me explain why I asked you. Do you think you are limited or unlimited? If you are limited entity, how can you have it all figured out? You can only perceive in a limited way. Therefore, if we're at all going to understand ultimate reality, we have to get knowledge from the unlimited. That is the advantage of Krishna consciousness and Bhagavad Gita. You're not taking knowledge from a limited source. With limited knowledge and with limited perception, you can't understand everything. There's always going to be something beyond your grasp. But if you take your knowledge from the unlimited source, then you can be on safe ground. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna presents what is the ultimate reality and how you can experience that. Not by blind faith, but how you can actually experience the ultimate spirituality. Why take it from Krishna? Because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains his unlimited nature. So if you take knowledge from the unlimited, then you've got everything covered. Then you're safe. That is the point. But yeah, we can see.
What is that Krishna like? That's not
a very good question. She's asking, what is Krishna Loka supposed to be about? She's asking about the spiritual world. But I'm saying, before we jump to that level, let's understand what's right in front of our eyes. We don't understand our change of body. Why are we changing bodies? What's given us this particular body? What will our next body be? Right then and there, you can see control. And that forces you to think, what is the ultimate control? How many of you ask to grow older? Remember? Any of you ask to grow older? Any of you ask, when you're sick, did you ask for it? But it's forced upon you. Why? How? So, if you can understand these things, the immediate reality, then you're well on your way to understanding the ultimate reality. Because these things of bodily changes forced upon us indicate that we're not in control. It's a hard thing that people understand. We're not in control. Because everyone has their hopes, right? You all have hopes for this, for that, for unconditional love, for hobbies, or whatever. Everyone's got hopes. But at the same time, you're completely controlled. That teaches you something about the nature of ultimate reality. Immediately, you can see we're under control. Just that fact alone should cause you to inquire, what is the nature of this reality that's controlling us? And is there something beyond the control? How do you know what you can't change? How do you know what you can't change? That requires education. Now, Krishna's teaching you in Bhagavad Gita, you can stop the changes of the body.
Well, if you think about it, because you can change, well, the rest you can't, so that's it.
Now, how do you know what you can't change? Just like old age, can you stop old age?
No.
You can. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says you can stop old age. Can you stop death?
No.
Yes, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you can put a stop to the cycle of old age, disease, birth, and death. This is what I mean about limited knowledge and unlimited knowledge. According to limited knowledge, we're helpless. Well, you just do the best you can in this short life, and then you know what happens next. How many of you are prepared to live your life in that way? Any? Used to be. Before yesterday. Why? You're a young lady. There's so much fun in the world for you. What are you doing thinking like this? Why worry about whether it makes sense or not? Just enjoy your senses. You know, you're more than the body. That's not such a nice thing for a young person like you to be thinking about it and ruin all your fun. Think you're more than the body. Yeah, careful. You know what you know. Why? Is there something more than that?
You're asking what your idea of that?
No, I'm just saying, why?
Because the typical society called fun, so they actually have a sort of consciousness that's boring up to life. So they just come out to have this thing in the consciousness where they can talk about it. If it does get wrong, I just keep applying to themselves and keep pushing this life home. Yeah, I'm not strong, but I'm not willing to sit down and sleep and try and find what this whole existence is all about.
How old are you? When did you come to these conclusions? But now, where will you go? It's one thing to realize the matrix of illusion and how you're going to get out of it.
Exactly. I think for quite a while I've come to that point of stepping outside the matrix, and then I'm quite back here. And it just feels like in the last month and a half, it's like kind of this deafness.
Very good. So then you are a good, very, you are very appropriate candidate for Krishna consciousness. Congratulations. Anyone else who has come to this point?
And that's the scary part of it, when you realize that you can't live an illusion or you're fooling yourself.
Why not? You look like a successful lady, you know. Sheep, debonair, Vogue magazine.
This is where you realize that you can't cling to your friends, can't cling to your family, that you're on your own.
Really?
Yeah, and that's scary.
You have a family, don't you? They do you coffee like this at home?
Yes, they do. We talk about that.
Children also?
Yes.
Husband? You guys are being carried out?
Oh, no, he's giving me a
Is it here?
Oh, it wants to be.
Congratulations to you also.
This is where the element of fear comes in, this is where faith has to take over.
This is where knowledge has to take over. Faith. Krishna doesn't ask for faith.
It's more sufficient.
Better that if Krishna is giving you knowledge, you take it. If the unlimited is giving knowledge how to attain the unlimited, take it. Won't that solve the whole problem? What to do? Am I? Where am I? Where do I go? Fear, not to fear. If the unlimited is giving you knowledge how to attain the unlimited, why not take it? Just like we're reading, Krishna is explaining that the foolish cannot understand how living in the Krishna's body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spells of one's nature. But when his eyes are trained in knowledge, can see all this. Someone can read textual letters, just don't have a paper who has a booming voice. A booming voice. I read text for everything.
China.
Question? Yeah, Master Bhaskaratam. Different talk? Mahalo. Nayanam? Question? The change is set up. Hey, thank you. Can we translate?
Hearing the constant is just one of the trickiness of realization. You can see all this data, but those whose minds are not developed and who are not situated in self realization cannot see what is taking place, although they may try.
Yes, if you want to see these things clearly, you need qualification. And that's not just an arbitrary thing. Like, well, what do you think? Well, I think this. You think that. Everyone thinks a different way. Who is getting the qualification to see? Here we are trying to figure out what is the ultimate reality, but we can't even see the immediate reality that we're forced to change bodies. And what is that system that's forcing us to change? What's that system that's awarding us different types of bodies, life after life? Understand that aspect of ultimate reality, and then you can make further progress. In other words, first you have to deal with what's right up under our nose, the change of the body. A real career is one that's dedicated to grappling with these issues. Why do I have to change body? Why do I have a particular body? What will my next body be? Just like people will worry, what will my job be? What will my occupation be? What university will I go to? But what will your next body be? Once you start thinking in this way, under the direction of Lord Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, then you can go higher and start to understand deeper things about the ultimate reality. But we have to begin with what is right under our nose. This body is forced upon the spirit soul. It's forced to change. You don't want it to change. Do you want to become an old lady? Why not? Why do you not want to be one of them?
Because from the old age, when the diseases come and it's done, I don't think that that's appropriate for the soul. Because I think we can achieve more things when we're healthy rather than just taking care of our own diseases and measuring up our physical place.
Is that all?
Plus other female
What's wrong with having gray hair, sagging chest? Doesn't look good. To who? No one wants to become old. Wants to become wiser when you're old. What do you think? I agree, you're welcome, you're welcome.
I mean, if
you are developing your spiritual life in Krishna consciousness, then it doesn't matter what the external body is doing. But how are we going to get that real wealth?
That's why I'm taking appropriate spiritual
places. An appropriate spiritual place is that which presents authentic knowledge coming straight from the ultimate reality. Otherwise, I could say my opinion, you could say your opinion, you could say yours. We're all limited living entities. We already went through that at the beginning. Oh, unconditional love. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, whatever. But no one's satisfied with all that. You want a chance to access authoritative knowledge. So the whole point of Bhagavad Gita is that Krishna's explaining when you get knowledge from the source of all energy, then you have real knowledge. Find out the source of all the energy and get your knowledge from there. That is the message of Lord Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. Then you've got the advantage. So that is how your quest will end. By your taking knowledge directly from the source of all energy. Then your life is successful. Basically, what Krishna is doing in Bhagavad Gita is teaching you how to be smarter than the illusion. That's what you all are looking for, the smarts. So you don't waste your life in an ingenuine way, superficial way. and then you just die giving up your body. There's no point to it all. Where you're going next, you don't know. You just have some hopes. Yeah, I hope it'll be all right. Don't live your life. But it's hard not to, because most people are prepared to live in that way. There's a good phrase I like to use for describing the condition or the lifestyle of most people today. Mass consensual trance. Good. Huh? Oh, you guys said Sami, that's more to the point about it. I mean, all right. Masses of people just not thinking, not caring, but as long as they get some little stimulation of happiness, it's all right. Now, I think that most of you, at least, can't live in that way. It's good that you understand that. Now we need to make further progress. We need to access true knowledge. And the whole point of why we need that is to teach you that true knowledge can only come from the source of everything. You take your knowledge from Krishna, and then your life, then you're in the driver's seat. Otherwise, you'll never figure it all out. Reality is too vast and you're too tiny. But if you approach the source of everything and get your knowledge from there, then you're the activated citizen. That is what Lord Krishna is trying to explain. So therefore, rather than us get kind of nebulous and airy-fairy, I just brought it down to the immediate reality. This body and its changes. And you read, Krishna saying, the foolish can't even understand how you have your present body. They don't think about it. Yet meanwhile, everyone's scratching their heads. What is the ultimate become?
Well, you know, the whatever.
Just look right now. If you have these bodies, how did you get them? What will your next body be? Krishna's teaching you that in Bhagavad Gita. Very practical. Nothing more practical than that. Start with. That's the problem. No one cares, no one asks.
I mean, this is the first time I've ever heard anyone read. I mean, no one cares what read.
Thank you. That's the first time I've ever read. Welcome.
I mean, our parents are together, you know, and you know, but, I mean, you go on through life, people don't ask you to do
something. Exactly. That's why we recommend everyone give a solid reading to Bhagavad Gita. And you'll find things that you never thought about before, and you'll find things that you have thought about before. So for those of you who are serious about getting to the bottom of the matrix of illusion and finding out what is genuine, I heartily recommend that you delve into Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita means the song of the most opulent one. The most opulent one is the source of everything. Take your knowledge from there, and then your life is successful. Otherwise, you're just going to be just burdened by, you think this way, I think that way, he thinks that way, she thinks that way. Oh, whatever, who cares, anyway. Let's just try to enjoy our senses, even though it's temporary. Right? But some of you are tired of that. Okay. Some of you are prepared to do something about that. So we're talking about the real occupation, the real lifestyle. This is genuine. So I would like to leave you there to think about these things. This is our service.
You know, it was interesting actually, a lady got on her birthday the other day, and it was a classic case of her mother started to talk about her birth and the daughter was so embarrassed.
Talk about her mother?
Oh, right. She didn't want to know, you know. And that's sort of usually what happens.
Her birth.
How sorry she is. And our mother's birth experience, we usually out the door, you know.
life in the womb. Right? You know why you don't remember? Because the shock of childbirth is too much. One minute you're packed up inside someone's womb, the next minute you're pushed out, you know, into an unknown world. You also don't remember your past death because of the shock. But just because you don't remember your birth doesn't mean you don't want anyone celebrating your birthday. You don't remember your birth, but you want everyone to celebrate your birthday. So what you remember or what you don't remember is not the ultimate test. You don't remember your birth, but you want your birthday celebrated.
What's more important
than the present? For how long? For how long? For how long you want to feel peaceful and happy?
What for the rest of your life?
And how long is that?
Well,
right, that's the problem.
Well, I know.
But also,
you want to be right at the same time,
being
okay, as
you
speak,
wisely, so you can visualize or whatever. So, where are you going to get that kind of training from?
Where
do you get it? Right, so, we'll get it to you here. Okay? Alright, is it dinner time? Well, it's been a very motivating discussion, stimulating. I didn't want to like this all night, but...
How do you gain a spiritual knowledge and how can you walk the path of the Lord?
You first take knowledge from Krishna. Don't be sentimental. Take knowledge and act on it. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining what to do. What is the ultimate reality? You take that. Apply the knowledge, and you'll see the difference. That is Krishna consciousness. Don't get caught up in this, oh, whatever, and yes, all the, you know, and just flow with it, let it flow with you, and so what's your time? Take real knowledge and act on it.
Well, it's very practical. I just start to read it. It is very practical. It's, as you say, it's science.
You have to re-educate yourself. That is what Bhagavad Gita does to you. So therefore, you can come here and we'll help you to plunge into Bhagavad Gita. You can come. You're right, why should you waste your life being an ordinary person? Very good. You need support. You know, being an extraordinary person, you need support. So this is actually also, that's actually what we do here. We have a support group for extraordinary persons. It's difficult being an extraordinary person on your own. You'll get worn down. You'll feel persecuted or you'll feel totally out of normal. But when you mix with other extraordinary persons, then you become strong. Okay, thank you very much.